Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to read again the passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And I want to read tonight, as you follow along, from the Amplified Bible. It gives a little bit of detail to the reading that I would like to share with you this evening as we consider the shepherds that God chose to reveal special revelation to regarding the coming of the Messiah in Bethlehem that night, and that thrilled their souls when they received that message. Let's begin verse 8 as I read from the Amplified. You follow along in your Bible. "And in that vicinity there were shepherds living out under the open sky in the field, watching in shifts over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you by which you will recognize Him. You will find, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Then suddenly there appeared with the angel an army of the troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is well pleased, men of good will, of His favor." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this saying that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and by searching found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known what had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it were astounded and marveled at what the shepherds told them. But Mary was keeping within herself all of these things, weighing and pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them." The Amplified adds that little word "just" to the reading to emphasize the truth that everything that God had said through the angels happened exactly, and the baby was where he was supposed to be, and they had no trouble finding him, their hearts thrilled with praise and adoration unto God. Let us pray. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for the revelation that You have chosen to give to us. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might have a love and appreciation for the Word of God, that we might understand how important it is in our daily lives, that it's not just something that we pick up every once in a while or to pick it up to take to church, but it's a book, the book of books, by which we are to live our lives and that we're to feed on. If we as believers are not feeding upon the Word of God, then we will be malnourished spiritually, and it will definitely show. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You would rebuke us and admonish us through Your Word tonight as we consider these shepherds, these lowly shepherds whose testimony and witness was not acceptable in the Jewish court, but whose testimony rings to our hearts even to this very hour of the glory of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that You would thrill our souls tonight with the Word of God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we looked at the declaration of the shepherds and how they said to each other in verse 15, after the angels had gone away, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this saying that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." They acted upon the Word of God. And that brings us to this second point tonight, the decision of the shepherds. The decision of the shepherds. They wanted to go and see this thing that had been told to them by the angel, and what they had seen with the glory of God's heaven revealed to them out there on the hills of Judea. They saw and heard the testimony of the angels as they multiplied their voices. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I can only imagine what these shepherds were thinking at this particular moment. Their eyes, I'm sure, wide open having seen these angels, not something that happens. They'd been on those hills for many, many years. They'd seen, I'm sure, coyotes, and they had seen those animals that would cause harm to their sheep and their lambs, but they'd never seen this before. And yet they responded in faith. They responded believing the testimony. They said, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord hath made known unto us." They recognized that evening who had given them the message. The Bible makes that clear. This message came from God through the angels. The angels were not the source of the message. Don't misunderstand that. They were not the source of the message. It was God Almighty that had chosen to interrupt at this particular time in history and bring down His angels and to announce to lowly shepherds that His Son was come to Bethlehem. Now remember, the heavens had been silent for how long? 400 years. No news from any angel. There had not been any word from heaven during this particular time. Very difficult time for the children of Israel. Several battles had been fought, and then by the time this scene comes, Israel is now under the dominion of Rome. And so many things had changed during those 400 years. And the shepherds went out to do their jobs as they'd always done. And there God revealed to them the truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they made a decision. This decision was a wonderful example of people acting by faith on the Word of God. When God speaks, our responsibility is to act. I am much grieved whenever there are ones that need to turn to the Lord and yet they don't do it. I think about my own grandparents, whom I remember as the earliest memory that I have is praying for my grandparents to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And my brother and I were in Mexico in 1986, I believe it was, and my grandfather passed away. He was the first. And the first question when I got back, Mom and Dad didn't tell us until we were back from Mexico and found out my grandfather had passed away. And I asked them, I said, "Do you know whether he trusted Christ?" And Dad, with tears in his eyes, said, "I don't believe that he did." And then a number of years later, my grandmother passed away. And that is one of the greatest griefs of my heart. I wrote several letters from the time I was in high school through my college years at Bob Jones University. I sent them regular letters with a gospel witness every time. I remember one letter that I got from my grandmother that was very heartbreaking. She used some very choice language in her letter to me, that I was being brainwashed by the people of Bob Jones University and that I'd been brainwashed as a child by Dr. Dayton Hobbs. And she used some very colorful language to basically tell me that I was a fool and that she'd appreciate it if I wouldn't send her any more letters like that. Well, I was brokenhearted by that. I did send a few more letters to her, and I continued to witness. I said, "I love you too much just to let this time slip by. I don't know how much time you have. I don't know how much time I have." And so I continued to send her from time to time just a note, let you know I'm praying for you. And, you know, it's a great grief of heart. My grandfather on my mom's side, her dad never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. He died the night I was born. Just a few hours after I came into the world, he passed away on an operating table having a bypass surgery, which in those days was something that was fairly new and at that particular time, and he did not survive. And I've often thought about that in that relationship, how I wish that my grandparents were in heaven. I do have a grandmother, Dolly Dunlap, my grandmother, who prayed for us and was. I got to come to my graduation at Bob Jones University, and how special that was to have her there. And she knew the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. As a matter of fact, when she passed away, I received her Bible that she had. And inside that, and I didn't know it was in there, there were lots of different things. And one of them was my grandfather's obituary that he had passed away the night that I was born. I had not seen that before. And so that was kind of a unique thing. But I often wondered why. Why would they not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did they reject the message of the gospel? All of them had heard it. All of them had heard the gospel on numerous occasions, and yet they chose not to act upon the truth of God's Word. There is a line that is crossed. We don't know when it is. But whenever the truth is given, the Bible says that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. I know that that was given in Genesis, dealing with that group of individuals who chose what? Not to hear the message that Noah was giving, the message of the gospel, there's going to be a flood, and how they mocked and laughed at him. Ah, there's no such thing. It will not happen. You're deceived. You're a foolish man to speak this way. And yet when the water began to rise, when the fountains of the deep broke up, what were they doing? Well, I'm sure that they were there at the ark banging, trying to find a way of entrance because they realized that this was true, what Noah had said. But it was what? It was too late. Only 8 souls were saved. 8 believers. Now, may I emphasize that again? 8 believers. 8 people who heard the Word of God, the judgment that was going to come in the flood, and they acted upon that truth, even though for Noah it was at great personal cost to constantly be berated for 120 years. I cannot even fathom what he went through. And yet his love for God and his love for God's Word moved him to believe. He heard and he believed. If you will not hear, you will not believe, and you will suffer the consequences for that. It's a grief of heart to watch people who you've witnessed to not listen and choose to go to a devil's hell, thinking all along that they are fine, thinking that there's no such thing as a devil's hell, thinking that there's no such thing as judgment. They choose not to hear. And the consequences, now get this, are eternal. There's no going back. There's no going back. You know, in this life, we have second chances. I'm thankful that God chose to give me some second chances. You know, there's a lot of things that could have happened. We think about those things. Whenever you're going down the road and you stop paying attention and you start creeping over into the other lane, and then all of a sudden you jerk the wheel back over and this car comes flying by, what could have happened just now? And God in His providence allowed you to be able to continue on the road as if nothing happened. Yet what could have happened? There's a lot of could-haves. But I want to tell you something. If you reject the Word of God, there will be consequences. And they will be consequences that will never go away. They will never go away. It will be the ruin of eternity. Your soul burning in hell, and you had the opportunity to believe, but you would not hear. Now I'm emphasizing this because these shepherds are a wonderful example of individuals who hear the Word of God and act upon the Word of God. Oh, what a glorious thing to act upon the Word of God, to be given the truth of God and then have that heart of faith, that work of God in the heart whereby we believe the truth and then go with the truth. Oh, that's a wonderful truth. When we pray for our missionaries, I think of Brother Mossman as he ministers there in West Africa and then moving to North Africa. He's in a very difficult ministry. And he will be entering into, he and his wife, in a very difficult ministry there in Morocco. But you know what? The difficulty is watching countless souls trust and believe in things that are not true. Is that not troubling to your heart? To know that there are people tonight that will pillow their head believing in things that are not true. They believe in things. The Islamists believe that they will have, if they die, they will move on to a better life. But they will not move on to a better life if they have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they have a Jesus. They recognize the good prophet Jesus. there was a good master, a good teacher, but they do not believe that He is the Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They don't believe in that truth. They reject that and they follow after the Prophet Muhammad. And I don't know all of the different details of their particular religion, but I know this, their belief system damns souls to hell. That's all I need to know. And that tells me that I need to give the gospel. I need to be praying for them. We have a tendency, I think, sometimes to think, well, no, they'll never come to Christ. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I believe that there have been many. I think about Haytham Nizarnuri. I've often thought of him whenever I prayed for the Arab-speaking people. Here he was in the Republican Guard with Saddam Hussein. He fought against the United States in the first Gulf War. And then he found a gospel tract in Arabic. And he began to read it. It's forbidden to read that. But he read of Jesus Christ and he had questions and he began to do some questioning and found a person, a believer in Christ, who showed him from the Bible how he could be saved. And he was wonderfully transformed. And God called him to be a preacher. And it was there because of his faith in Jesus Christ and the preaching of the Word of God that he and his wife and his children were driving down a street and his vehicle came under attack and a bullet penetrated the door while he was driving and hit him in the spine and he can no longer walk. They were able to get him out of the country after battling for so long trying to get him medical care, and now he's one of the teachers in the Bible Institute from a wheelchair. It cost him. It cost him to become a Christian. It cost him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When he heard, he did what? He believed. And you might say, well, look what it cost him. What a glorious price to pay to serve and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we won't walk across the street to speak to someone about the Savior because they might say no. They might say no. This man took a bullet for the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted him out of jail and he wouldn't leave. And they said, we'll kill him. But they didn't kill him. They didn't kill Hazarnuri. He said, I'm going to continue to serve God and be used of Him. And he has done so since his injury took place. The shooting took place. Here was an Arab man who was steeped in Islam, who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is a glorious example, these shepherds, of hearing the Word of God and acting upon the Word of God. And for the Christian, let me just say this. You have the same responsibility. When you hear God's Word proclaimed to your heart, in a church service, or maybe you hear a message over the radio, or maybe on the internet you hear a good message, and the Word of God speaks to your heart, your responsibility is to act immediately upon the Word of God. Maybe it's conviction of sin. Maybe you've got a grudge towards somebody, and the message of the Word spoke to your heart and said, I need to get things right. Don't just talk about it, get it taken care of. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As a Christian, you have a responsibility to act immediately upon the Word of God. That's what it means to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I spoke to our staff last night at the Christmas party that we had, and I mentioned to them, the Bible makes it very clear. If ye draw near unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. I'm paraphrasing that verse from the book of James. What does he say? It's your responsibility to draw near to me. And I will draw near to you. What is he looking for? He's looking for a response to his word. That's how we draw near. That's how we draw near to each other. How do husband and wife? You know, isn't it something when you pick up the phone and you look down there and I see Beth Brainerd? That's my wife. So I slide the thing. Hey, honey. How you doing? What you doing? Shopping usually is the answer that I get. But, you know, there's just something special about hearing your wife's voice, all right? And you hear her voice, she's all right at that moment, correct? She's on the phone talking to you, she's all right. Sometimes when I pick up the phone, I wonder if it's that call, you know? Oh, I've had an accident. I got one of those calls one time. I was administrating the school way back in 1993, and Gregory had just been born. And Beth was taking Gregory to stay at my mom's house, and there was a dumpster sitting on the side of the road, and the city had put it down, and they left that big knob that they hooked the hooks to sticking out. And my wife went around the corner and peeled the side of the tars wide open. All right, glass burst, came right on top of Gregory, who was in his baby seat. And she called the office, and I picked up the phone, and she was in tears, and she was saying, "I hit the dumpster, and it tore the car all up." And I said, "Well, are you all right?" And she said, I think I'm all right, but glass was all over Gregory." Well, I'm thinking the worst, you know. He's cut up, bleeding, and so forth like that. But, you know, the Lord preserved. He was fine. And she proceeded on to the house, and then we proceeded to fight with the insurance company to try to get a new door and all that good stuff, get the car put back together again. But you know what? Those are the kind of calls I really don't like. You get that phone call. But whenever she calls and everything is fine, it's a wonderful thing to hear your spouse's voice. Maybe it's the other way around. But maybe it's not the other way around. I don't know. Maybe you don't like getting a phone call from your spouse or whatever, or getting a text or something of that nature. A phone call, I think, is a lot better, don't you? Rather than get, my wife doesn't do a lot of texting, so she calls me, and I like that. But, you know, we have a responsibility to respond to the Word of God when God speaks in His Word. There's a second thing concerning the decision of the shepherds that I want you to know. This decision was a wonderful example of people coming to Christ rather than postponing a response. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. That kind of an indication is almost pretending to be God. I've got time. I'll do it later. How do you know? How do you know? How can you say, "I'll put it off to a later date"? Or like King Agrippa, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." We have any record that King Agrippa ever came to know the Lord Jesus Christ? I think that was his moment. That was his opportunity. And he was convinced to a certain degree, but not all the way, to believe. These shepherds were convinced. They didn't sit around and say, "Let's go back to the campfire and talk about this. You know, I'm not too sure about this angel thing. Are you sure that you saw an angel?" They didn't talk about it. They came together and they said, "Listen, let's go. The sheep will be fine. I'm sure that the angels will take care of them. Let's go into the town." You know, it's interesting. What happened to those sheep that night? Do you think that God in His love perhaps left a few angels there to take care of those sheep while they went into Bethlehem? I don't know. That's just speculation. But they didn't worry about them. They went in and they acted immediately upon the Word of God. That should be our reaction, an immediate response. Like the shepherds, the sinner must decide to come to Christ in the lowly position of a guilty sinner, because Christ invites the lost sinner to come. Let me read a few verses. Luke 19 and verse 10. "For the Son of God is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Why did Jesus come? Why was He incarnated as the Son of Man, the Son of God becoming man? So that He might seek, but what else? And save that which was lost. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you're lost. There's no other condition. I would be doing spiritual malpractice if I said, "You're okay tonight as long as you're religious." Do you know how many times that's repeated from pulpits around the world? "As long as you're religious, you're okay." No, I'm sorry. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not been transformed by His gospel and the Spirit of God come to dwell in your heart, you're not okay. You need the Savior. Again, Christ said in John chapter 6 and verse 37, "He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." What a wonderful statement that our Lord made there. If you come unto Me, I will in no wise, I will not in any way cast you out. That's the reception that you receive when you act upon the Word of God, when you take to heart the Word of God. We could go to other passages of Scripture that teach us about that. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Have you come to Christ by faith like the shepherds? I want to take you to the next point, the third one. The discovery of the shepherds in verses 16 through 20. I'm going to read again now from the King James. And they came with haste and found Mary. How did they come? Don't just run through the words. All right? I've tried to work with our young people in the Christmas program. I say, slow down. Say your lines like we've taught you. Don't be in a big hurry. It's amazing when you have a crowd of people listening. All of a sudden, the motor starts getting a higher RPM. You know, and they start spitting out those lines, and they're thinking about all their classmates out here, and so forth. And I was speaking to one of our young ladies who's going to be reading this passage of Scripture. She's going to be an angelic being. I told her, this is the first time you get to be an angel, because I know you're not otherwise. But anyway, I said, don't run through these words. They mean something. How did these shepherds go to Bethlehem? They went with haste. They put some speed on. Why? What moved them to move rapidly to Bethlehem? You know, I think about, again, children going on trips. And children have no concept of time, right, Brother Watt? No concept of time, all right? When are we going to get there? We've been 5 minutes. We hadn't even made it to the interstate. And they're asking, are we there yet? Now, a little child, they don't have any idea. They think you're going to Walmart, and that doesn't take too long. But when you're going on a trip to South Carolina, or you're going up to Ohio, or things of that nature, I'm sure that I drove my parents crazy when we were going. So what my dad did was he bought a truck, put a camper on the back, put us in the back with a closed window. And we had to do messages. He gave us a notebook. And we would write, Dad, I've got to go to the bathroom. All right, that was our messaging back in those days. And my dad always had a big smile on his face, mainly because he knew that we weren't up front running our mouths, asking him questions. He's just driving down the road, you know. And so Dad would look, and he'd nod, all right. And so we would find us. There weren't too many rest areas back in those days. So we would just pull off the road, and you'd have to go run out in the woods, and then you could do your business and come back in, you know, and climb back up in the back of the chair. But whenever we went on a trip, we always had to ride on top of the mattresses that were in the back of the pickup truck. And so when we got there, our chins were raw. From riding on the thing and looking out the window through, so we could see where we were going. Our chins would be all raw from doing that. Those were fun times, Dad. Thank you. But, you know, the messaging service, well, it was pre-everything. All right? We didn't even have a sliding window so we could open it up and, you know, drive Dad crazy. No, we had to do the scribble pad, you know. Dad, are we stopping anytime? Are we there yet? You know, and then, you know, kids don't have any idea about mileage and things of that nature. But I want you to know that when we went on vacation, we wanted to get out of here in a hurry. As kids, we were packed, ready to go. Come on, Dad. So most times he was getting off a shift, and we would leave after his shift, so the poor man had to drive half asleep trying to get on the road because he's on one shift or another. And so we would go on our vacation. We were always in a hurry to get there. Why? Anticipation of all the activities, maybe seeing grandparents, maybe going on a hike or going out in the woods, camping or things of that. Just a lot of anticipation. And then when it's time to leave, there's a little bit of hesitation. And then when you get on the road, you want to get home as quick as you can because there's no place like home, right? All right. Crawl into that familiar mattress after you've slept on every lumpy possible place you could sleep on or on a cot or things of that nature. We're so glad to be back home. These shepherds were thrilled by the message, and they didn't just saunter their way over to Bethlehem. They put a move on it to get there. Now that says something to me. It indicates the kind of heart we ought to have when it comes to acting upon the Word of God. That we need to make haste. We need to make haste. There needs to be this desire within our hearts to want to know more, to want to see it with our own eyes. Are you looking forward to the rapture? Are you looking forward to that trumpet sound? I don't know when it's going to come, whether it's going to come at midnight, whether it's going to come in the middle of the morning, or whether it's going to come during the day. But what a glorious day that will be whenever the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. The Lord is going to make haste to bring His children home. Here, one second, there with Him the next. And what does the Bible say concerning the description of those who die in the Lord? Absent from the body? Not this long period drug out thing of finally making it there, like we have some religions teach, but rather absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a wonderful thing. The Lord says, behold, I come quickly. Whenever He comes, it's going to happen quickly. Makes haste. Why? Because it's important. It was important to these shepherds to be there to see their Lord. The shepherds came and found Mary and Joseph and the babe as it was told unto them. Whatever God says about something is exactly the way you will find it. You want to know what the future's like? Read the Bible. And it will happen exactly as God says in His Word. Everything God says is true or will come true. You can depend on it. Now, you can't depend on this world. There's so much deception out there. There are so many things that we get disappointed by that we think are going to happen. All you have to do is spend a day at Health Options trying to get Obamacare worked out, and you'll find out how disappointed you can be. We had to do that this week. This was the period of time that we had to do the enrollment for myself. And so, you know, you get disappointed. I got there and I found out that I was signed up for the wrong thing. They said, oh, you signed up for service. And I said, well, that's what I want. And they said, no, you're supposed to sign up for health care. There's a button on there for health care. I said, you've got to be kidding. I hit the wrong button. And he said, well, the lady said to us, well, we're not prepared to do that particular thing today, so you're going to have to wait. Probably about an hour and a half wait. So we went over there obediently and we sat down and we got served about 45 minutes after the fact. But you know, it's disappointing. You think you did it right and you didn't do it right. And then you get in there and you look at the prices. I want to tell you something. My eyes were just like, they couldn't have gotten any bigger. Right? If a bomb would have gone off, it wouldn't have made my eyes any bigger because I just couldn't believe it. I said, this is savings? You know what they've got out there? But listen, you'll never be disappointed with the Word of God. The Word of God always comes true. Two things concerning the veracity of the angel's message. First of all, the discovery was unmistakable. The angels gave such specific information, they couldn't miss finding the babe and knowing He was the Messiah. They went to the right town, they went to the right inn, and they went to the right stable. They could not miss it because the message was clear. Now, I want to tell you, the Bible is better than GPS. Have you ever been steered wrong by GPS? I'm going to tell you, we got turned around one time. The GPS was telling us to go one way, and we got further and further out of town. And I said, I don't think this is the way we're supposed to be going. And so we turned around, and they kept trying to turn us back around again, mainly because we had not updated the GPS. That's a good thing to do if you have an older one. The new ones automatically update, which is a nice thing. But, you know, GPS can be wrong. It can tell you're at the spot. How many of you have been at a spot and the GPS says, you're now at the right place? Anybody? All right. Some of you have experienced that. I've experienced that before. I think Ben told me about it. He got on his last trip. He was trying to get up there to Munson. And he was sitting somewhere and it said, you're at the Bear Lake facility. And he said, I don't see any Bear Lake. Well, he wasn't out there. The GPS was wrong. Alright? The Bible, though, is not wrong. The Bible is true. Society and the world will tell you it's wrong, but we know it's true because it's special revelation from God. Secondly, in the same way, God has made His plan of salvation so plain that no one who really wants to know can miss it. Isn't that wonderful? Anybody that really wants to know will not miss it. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 14 and verse 6. The discovery was unforgettable. We read down here in this passage, and all who heard it were astonished and marveled at what the shepherds told them. But Mary was keeping within herself all these things, weighing and pondering them in her heart, thinking about what had just happened. It was unforgettable. She never forgot what happened, and neither did the shepherds. For we read in verse 20 that they went back rejoicing at what they had both heard and seen. Very quickly, the last point. The delight of the shepherds. The delight of the shepherds. The shepherds returned to their flock rejoicing, glorifying, and praising God, for they were satisfied by the truth. Now this is something that I want to emphasize with you. Not only do we hear and act upon the Word of God, but when we act upon the Word of God, you will be satisfied. At age 14, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That night, for the first time in my life, I was satisfied. I stopped all the aisle walking. Oh, I'd walk the aisle at every revival service we'd ever had, and other church services, and youth group meetings, and things of that nature. But in 1978, at age 14, I told the Lord, I'm tired of walking the aisle and not knowing. Lord, I've done all the repenting I know to do. Would you help me to believe? And that night I got it settled. I haven't had a doubt since. Because I was satisfied. The Spirit bore witness with my spirit that I became a child of God. I got it forever settled. It's not something that I live with doubts with. Because God has secured my soul in Him. These shepherds went away satisfied. They had seen the Christ child, their Savior. And their satisfaction was borne out by the fact that they praised God and they rejoiced. I don't understand in a church service how people can sit and not sing. How people can sit in a church service that is seeking to magnify and honor God and not even open their mouth to say a few words. I think that's sad. That indicates the kind of heart. The sick who came to Jesus left how? Well. The blind who came to Jesus received their sight. The lame came and left walking. The lepers came and left clean and whole. Sinners came and left forgiven and cleansed. And I want you to think about your condition tonight. I want you to think about it for just a moment. Have I ever come to Christ and got it settled once and for all and left clean and forgiven? What a message that is. The shepherds returned to their flocks rejoicing because they had seen their Savior. That little baby that was in that manger was the Savior of sinners. They knew it was the Messiah because the angel said so, and that was the testament of God. His word to them, that baby was the Savior of sinners. And they left there rejoicing. They had seen with their own eyes something that was miraculous, the coming of God in flesh. They saw the Savior of sinners, the promised one. God fulfilled His word. What a glorious foundation we have in Jesus Christ. Doubts were erased. Ifs and maybes faded away. The Savior long promised is here, as it was told them by the angel. The authority of the Word of God takes the truth of Christmas out of the secular, out of the realm of possibility, and puts it on the firm foundation of truth. It is God's Word. He came to die on Calvary's tree. And He chose to reveal to those lowly, poor shepherds taking care of the temple flocks, He chose to reveal to them the location and whereabouts of the Savior, and they believed the Word. Isn't that remarkable? It's remarkable. So few are coming to Christ these days. I don't know how many people I've witnessed to over the last several months and just been disappointed at the responses. Some of them I know are as lost as they can be, and they've convinced themselves that they're saved. They've convinced themselves that they're on their way to heaven. Not on the merits of Jesus Christ, but on the merits of I've done something good, or I'm a religious person, or God's going to let me go to heaven because God's a loving God and He wouldn't send anybody to hell. Let me tell you something. You send yourself to hell. You send yourself to hell. Don't blame it on God. The Word of God reaches out to you tonight. Now, are you going to believe it? Or are you going to walk away from it? Or postpone it, as King Agrippa did? These shepherds, when they heard the Word, they acted upon the truth that was given to them, and they went with haste to see the things that were told unto them. I want to encourage your heart tonight from this simple passage of Scripture, very familiar passage. There's nothing new to you here. I hope and pray that we can respond in kind as the shepherds responded. Amen? When you sing, you ought to sing with a heart full of gratitude. When you pray, you ought to pray with a heart full of gratitude. That God deigned to love us. He didn't have to. But He deigned to love us, and He sent His only Son. He didn't send something else that might work. He sent something that did work. And that was the atoning work of Jesus Christ for us on the cross of Calvary. If you're here tonight without the Savior, would you not put it off another night? Don't put it off another hour. Don't put it off another minute. Would you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him? And Christian, is there enough Christianity within you to convince others that you're a child of God? Is there enough of Christ within you? I say that respectfully because sometimes people live in such ways that you begin to wonder, what in the world are they doing? Why are they living their life in such a way? Making decisions and choices with no thought of God, no desire to seek His face, just doing stuff. Doing stuff is going to get you in serious trouble. There's consequences to doing stuff. And so you need to trust in the Lord tonight. You need to make haste unto Him and see that which He has made known unto us. Would you bow your heads, please? I wonder, we're just going to take a moment to give an invitation. I wonder if there's anyone here tonight that would say, Pastor Brainerd, you've described me tonight. I am not like the shepherds. I have rejected the Word over and over again, but tonight I understand and see that I need to get this matter settled once and for all. If you're here tonight, I want you just to look up at me for just a moment. I'm going to talk directly to you. Another day, another minute wasted is another day and another minute closer to hell. Don't put off tonight what you need to take care of. You need to trust in Jesus Christ alone. Yes, repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news. Would you turn to Him tonight? Father in heaven, I pray that You'd work in hearts. I pray that You would cause such a stir that we'll see souls come to know Thee as our personal Savior. There's no guarantee of a tomorrow. There's no guarantee of a tonight. And I pray that You would work in hearts and that You would draw precious souls unto Yourself. May they receive the Word as the shepherds, not with doubt, not with concern, but rather with a desire to see what had been told them. I pray that You would work in hearts and that You'd draw individuals unto Yourself. And for Christians tonight, I pray that You would help us to make haste unto Thee. Help us not to dally around this world. Help us, Father, to seek Thy face in the decisions of life. Help us, Father, not to just do things because we're expected to do something. Help us, Father, to want to know what Your will is. Want to see the unfolding of Your plan in our lives. And I pray that You would make us sensitive concerning that. These shepherds believed the Word that was given to them and they acted upon that Word. May You help us as Christians to do the same. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.